I don't think that Sarnia has ever felt further away from us than it does right now, even though you can see it. You can't cross the bridge and get to it unless you're an essential traveler. Joining us right now is the mayor of Sarnia, Ontario, Mike Bradley. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Strange times, huh?
Well, I don't want to use the word that's being overused, but it, I will, unprecedented.
Yeah.
You can't link it back to 9/11. I mean, the thing that always stands out for people they of an older generation, they talk about, it's a lot like the Second World War, in the fact that, you know, the whole country is mobilized, the shortage of things and all those other things that come with it. But this is so different, Paul, that it's not just a health crisis, it's an economic crisis, and the two are blended together. And that makes it even more challenging trying to deal with the ramifications of what's happening.
It's amazing how fast the economy can collapse, and you wonder how quickly it will come back once this pandemic ends, and it will. We'll get through this, but it's going to take time for stores, restaurants, and factories to reopen.
Well, that's true, and you know, looking long-term, there's another generation that will be coming along that's going to have a massive debt, both in Canada and the United States. And I, you know, I'm quite frugal when it comes to spending. The city is, you know, most debt-free, and you know, we balance our budget each year. But I also understand that there is no other option at this point but to try to help those that are needed. And Canada is being very aggressive at the federal and the provincial level in helping small business, helping people that just need help. You know, so many people that the restaurants closed, just, you know, so many businesses that aren't operating. And most of them were like most people. You know, their cash flow was what they depended on. And only a month or two of interruption of that can cause them great grief, both mentally and financially.
How are you doing with COVID-19 over there? Do you have a lot of cases? How are your hospitals? Are they, you know, ready to face this challenge?
Well, Paul, unfortunately, we were in the national news yesterday. We have about, I think last count I saw was about 28 cases. This past few days, we had four deaths, and four determined deaths from COVID, and that's being traced down. There's a group of us, the police chief, fire chief, city manager, myself, we meet every day, and we have been for 3 weeks, by teleconference, I should say, and we've been watching this because Sarnia was behind in testing in this area. There's been a shortage of the testing kits across the province, and so we were waiting and waiting, and we kept on telling the public, the virus is here. We just don't have the evidence. And sadly, it was last few days, as I said, with four people, and I'm led to believe that there will be more deaths to come in the days ahead. And, you know, the detective work you need to do to try to figure out how that happened is underway by our public health unit. It's you know, we're looking at all sorts of scenarios now, backup facilities for our hospital if it's overwhelmed. Yesterday was the biggest spike in deaths in Ontario that we've had. And there was 10 deaths, and including 9 at one old age home. Three of the four deaths in Sarnia were people from a retirement home. And my message yesterday was very blunt. Some people thought it was too harsh, but it was blunt. And it was simply this to the public, that either you follow the guidelines or you'll be dead. It's that simple. Last night, the province of Ontario ordered the parks closed across Ontario. My own view is that we should take the hit for a week or two and just shut everything down that's not essential. Keep the traffic flowing on the bridge for industrial, commercial reasons, but everything else in the community. The province came up with an essential list, they called it. I would call it, there's quite a few businesses on there, you know, like lawyers and other things I don't think are essential for the next week or two. This is the next 2 weeks here are the critical weeks on trying to get a cap and start to mitigate the number of cases. So that's the challenge, I think, on both sides of the border.
It absolutely is, and it's so hard because we are used to having our freedoms on both sides of the border, to cross that border, to shop, to dine, to congregate, and to suddenly put the brakes on that has been a major adjustment. I think people over here are following it for the most part, but you're right. It's you know, any gathering of people becomes potentially dangerous.
And that's the same here. You know, you get, like most bylaws, laws you pass, you get probably 80% cooperation. It's the others that are causing, because anyone can be a carrier and anyone can be a guild. This thing is, there's no, doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are.
Absolutely.
You can be part of this. I equate it to taking a gun and shooting into a crowd. if you are out there doing the things that you shouldn't be doing. We've had problems here with our park equipment, with people being on there with the kids. We've posted signs. We've gone and talked to people, and they just don't seem to get it. Those laws apply to other people, and that's part of the frustration. Then there's the group out there that I'm sure you hear from them, this is just a hoax. This isn't really real. There's no worse than the flu any other time, and all you have to do is look at the numbers. You just have to look, and the nature of the illness. And, we're working on all those issues, from having enough ventilators to equipment for our hospitals. We're very lucky here. Our hospital was went through after we had the big SARS outbreak in Toronto back in 2003. They went through and trained on a pandemic. In my own case, with the emergency group here, we do an annual exercise, the emergency group, because of the valley and, weather and all that. And last year, we chose pandemic. So we knew what it could be like. I think, Paul, the real, without sounding so negative, the real challenge is going to be, now we're heading in, April 1st is coming on. People's rents due, their businesses have obligations, their mortgages, et cetera. As we go into week 3 and 4 and 5 here, you can tell just the tolerance level for people, the tolerance level for people for government and the actions, because they're now basically, you can't go to the parks, you can't do this, you can't do that. That tension is rising, and that's going to be the real challenge in the weeks ahead, to keep the public with us. But the reality is, you've got to self-isolate, you've got to physically distance yourself 6 feet from people, or you may get this disease and you may carry it to the people you care about.
Yeah, boy, that does become very difficult. You mentioned some of those deaths were at a retirement home. That's concerning, because that could indicate more cases there.
Exactly, Paul. Yeah. And the problem is the testing, and getting the testing done and getting the results back. In Ontario right now, there's a 5-day lag from when the test is done until it comes back. And my own belief is in that retirement home, there's more cases there. We had one retirement nursing home on the east side of the province. 9 people died. And, these places are, by their nature, they're very social. And the people are in those buildings and interacting all the time. And then you have people coming in and out. And that's where you're going to see the epicenter of a lot of the deaths that do occur, both in the U.S. and in Canada, unfortunately, in the seniors' homes.
How are you dealing with, for example, city council meetings? Are you able to meet? You have a lot of meetings with boards and commissions and groups. How is that all working out?
Well, I'm the only one at City Hall. I go there every day, and I'm pretty well isolated in the building with my assistant, and we socially distance there, physically distance. What we did, the province gave us a new power just for this emergency, and so we can meet electronically. I've had 2 electronic meetings where the councillors are in their homes. They call in. I run the meeting from City Hall. We are only doing urgent business. We are not doing a lot of the routine things that come along, and we'll probably pay a price for that down the road. We may get back to a regular agenda. The county council, which I'm part of, they're meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock by Zoom, and we'll be teleconferencing because of this new power. So it gives us the ability to respond to the things that we need to do, but to do it without endangering anyone.
Well, thank God for all the technology that we have. I can't imagine getting through this crisis without the ability to communicate and teleconference the way that we have been these past few weeks.
Well, Paul, it's interesting to say that because it's a thought on my mind all the time. Thank goodness for Zoom and all these other technologies. When this is all over, I never want to see another telephone for the rest of my life. I don't want to. There's all these people I work with I haven't seen for 3 weeks, all teleconferencing, right? But it has been invaluable, especially when you think about the nature of this disease. And that has been good. And, one of the problems I do face, the other day we estimated probably got about 300 emails, right? I respond to each one personally from the public, small questions, big questions, et cetera, right? There's great things to that, and we do media releases every day, and we try to communicate to the public, and I do it on my social media every day just so they know what's going on in the community. The downside of social media is the people out there that are creating issues and creating the dark side on this particular issue itself. That's the downside. But the technology, I was trying to think back when about 9/11 and other crises we've had, we didn't have what we have today, and that is a benefit to us.
No doubt about it. And we just got to keep that internet going, because I hate to think of what would happen without that infrastructure. We're certainly reliant upon it. Mayor Bradley, thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. Best of luck
Thank
to you,
Paul.
Over there, and stay well.
Same to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.